Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Violins, center of our own attention.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 2 p.m. Happy Friday. Sue Thomas is here. Sue with 2 from 97.1.
Hi.
That was fun last night.
Thank you for coming to that. It was the celebration, even though the 25th anniversary was the one you celebrated, because it's your 25th anniversary. You came to the 97.1 birthday party that we had out west. It was so great, David. We had John back there. It was a really fun thing.
It was nice.
Yeah. We sat out on the patio, and the weather was good. The sun was in my eyes, and smoke was not.
Yes.
There was a lot of smoke.
A lot of smoke.
But we were outside.
Yeah. I had about 5 listeners tell me how sorry they were that I got fired. And I'm like,
are you serious? That is hilarious.
We're so sorry.
So
Dave.
I told the first one, like, well, I didn't get fired.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm just like, thanks.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Wow. But you told the okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't tell people enough.
No, you can't.
No.
When I got in my car and I was driving away, you were doing a live for a financial guy.
Yes.
And here's how she did the live. She's like, so, you know, you probably think like retirement's so far away and you can just wait till you're there and then you can save some money. I'm like, exactly.
Bingo.
And then it's like somebody gets me.
She goes, that's not how it works. I'm like, bah!
I only say that because it happens to me.
I've been called out on a live endorsement.
I had a guy say to me last night that he enjoyed that History of the Louvre show. Boy, he loved it when it ran, and I thought, okay.
Wish they could bring that back.
Man, they shouldn't have canceled that show.
Man, what is it with people not understanding things?
It's just funny.
Current things that are happening now.
But then you have that moment of self-debate when you say, do I dive into this and explain? Yeah. Just like you were saying.
Yeah, it's a...
Or do I just...
Yeah. Well,
it's a cost-benefit analysis.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not gonna dox the person, but Steve said that one of our coworkers
thought that you were fired or that mine was
thought
gone.
Thought that we were only on AM. Like, he's like, oh, I only listen to Glove on, you know, like this. And Fred Bottomer was standing there and said, you know, they're on FM. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, 104.1. That guy's in the building.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
We put up like a bunch of balloons and stuff whenever that happens.
That's a good point there.
Balloons don't tell you.
Isn't it on our new sign out front now,
yes.
too?
It's right here, too.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's why you have that internal debate. And I made the wrong choice. I thought I would dive in and explain.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, you know what? He doesn't care.
Yeah, no.
He really doesn't.
No, you can tell within a couple seconds. They're like, yeah whatever.
Yep.
We just had a story about Bob Costas, who is stepping down from play-by-play. And as he said, Father Time is undefeated. And I had a thought last night that I wrote down that kind of leads into that. That since I turned 60, I've been thinking differently, right?
Mm.
And I thought last night, well, I know when I'm an old man. Like, will you clock it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of self-awareness in some people. And those people tend to be happier. So maybe you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And there are others who I think if you tell yourself that too early, then you double down on it and become that, even if you're not.
Yeah, and it's such a weird thing because old people have looked the same for a long time.
100%.
Like, my grandparents looked about the same as my parents when they were my age.
Yes.
And now, suddenly, our generation is sort of changing that.
It's true.
And even if we don't look younger, we're living younger. We're refusing to switch into the Dickie pants instead of jeans and, you know what I mean? Like,
house coats.
Pull them up to our nipples.
Right. Speak for yourself.
What do you think it was in like American culture that changed that? Like, to where once you reach a certain age, you don't just...
Hubris.
Yeah.
I think that our generation has the hubris to go, that's not how we're going
out. It's not happening to me.
Right. Whereas, like, my parents were very institutionalized, you know, like from being, you know, going into World War II to you pay this and you do this and here's how you do that. And no one does this and everyone does this. And we're old now, so let's pull our pants up.
Is it also maybe combination of we are healthier?
Oh, for sure.
Contrary to what people say. I mean, we live longer.
Yeah.
We stay physically younger longer than humans used to. Because, like, I remember you guys were talking about, like, I thought my grandma was old and she was 45 when I was a kid, or 48 when I was a kid. But she dressed from her generation. We probably don't get stuck as much into our generation because we are surrounded by everything new and modern. Where when your parents were at home, what was their exposure to modern fashion and what people are wearing and all that? I mean, it would be probably basic television shows, which were pretty old school because they were geared towards the older crowd.
I think a lot of it is just attitude. I really do. And I had a great aunt. I guess she made it into her 90s. And she always said, Aunt Helen, great Aunt Helen. And she would say, when people, my friends call and they want to talk about how ill they are, I say, let's change the subject. Because then you just focus on that. That's all you do. Now, if you talk about what's going on in the world or your life and how you're getting out, she thought that that kept you away from those thoughts and happier and healthier longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I think it's true.
Like, my mom and dad never wore jeans. Ever.
Right.
My dad never had a pair of jeans on his body.
I can't picture my parents in them either. Interesting.
Do you guys think that Hollywood had a role in this?
How so?
Where actors are 70 and they're still action stars.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the image of whoever, Sylvester Stallone, and this is not just new. I mean, like, say, Clint Eastwood kind of did this. He was doing that tough guy stuff when he was in his 70s. I wonder if that also just kind of reinforced, like, oh, yeah, you don't have to just sit in a rocking chair in your Dickies and, you know.
Yeah, it
also,
could be.
Also, sexual health. People are having sex way
that's a good point.
Farther into their life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I was speculating to myself over here. I'm like, well, I wonder if, like, divorce rates are higher now, so people kind of get that second dating wind later in life, so they want to take care of themselves a little more. And then, you know, the peers that are still married are just trying to be on that same level or what have you. But it looks like the divorce rate actually peaked in 1980 and has gone down. So I guess that blows my theory.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think we care a lot more now. I don't think my mom and dad cared. Like, I want to look young.
That's
I want to seem
point.
Young. I don't want people to know I'm 60.
What about you say this a lot, and I think it's true. I think it's a big thing, but you're talking about how your dad worked.
Yes.
And that generation did have a lot more of manual labor, manufacturing, you know, building cars, building houses, building things, where that's less of the job market. Now, it's still a part of it. It's still there, but it's not the predominant way that people made livings compared to when your dad was young.
Yeah, my dad was in the South Pacific when he was 17.
Oh, my gosh.
Spent 4 years, lost all of his teeth because of the hygiene there.
Oh.
He's had dentures when he was 25.
Wow.
Climbed scaffolds for a 40-year career in the cold, in the heat, with the flu. And so by the time he retired at 62, he was beaten.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Where, I mean, look at yourself at a similar age. You're not.
You're not beaten, Dave.
You know, you move around normally. You do normal things. You play baseball. I mean, like, that's a big difference, like the physical wear and tear. And, like...
And what a luxury for our generation.
I know.
Not everyone. There's a lot of men and women out there making a living
100%.
With their back. Yeah. But for a lot of us, we pay someone to go lift heavy things.
Sure.
Right.
And even the people that do those things now have access to more things. You have access to chiropractors and rehab facilities. And, you know, there are just better general info out there of how to take care of yourself and how to eat. And, all right, I'm doing physical work all day. What do I need to do? All right, you need to have this many glasses of water. Like, it's just all out there for you where I'm not sure it was 50 years ago.
For some reason, this reminds me of my grandfather. He also was in his 90s, and he was in a retirement home, and he said, "Seuss, you can't taste the food here." And I said, "Well, what do you do, Grandpa?" He said, "I bring my own hot sauce." He said, "I go down to the table, and I just put on the hot sauce, ask anybody if they want it." I'm like, "I don't know how these people are eating this." And my mom, when I went to see him one of the last times, it wasn't the last of the last, but she said, "Make sure you drive." Because he was still like, "Let's eat with the hot sauce. Let's taste the food." And she said, "He takes the ladies to church on Sunday. You drive." Wow. I mean, but it's that attitude. You know what I mean? Let's taste this stuff and move on.
My mom, I think she was 75 when my dad passed away. And, lived on her own, you know, until opening day of 2024 when she fell. And we had been talking. Her big thing was loneliness. She and I are very similar. Oh. We have a hard time being alone, kind of climb the walls. And it was terrible because I would go see her at least once a week, Sundays with Francis, a lot of times too, call her 3 or 4 times a week. And she would just complain. Yeah. I'm so lonely. She'd say, "I just beat my fists on the walls." And I'm like, "Well, Mom, like, you know, why don't you get involved in like a church or a knitting circle?"
Yes.
"Or why don't we talk about going to an old folks' place?" Yeah. Not necessarily a nursing home.
You'd have people around you.
But she was so 100% no. And she would say, like, about the knitting circle at the church, "I don't want to sit around with a bunch of old people."
That's
And that always intrigued me.
So she's lonely but doesn't want to sit around with the old people.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think by the time she passed away, she realized she should have moved somewhere.
I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did she say so, Dave, or was just a... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she only said it a couple times, kind of in passing. I didn't, like, "I told you so." But she kind of said, like, "You know, I shouldn't have lived alone for 25 years.
When my mom went into Aberdeen, which is a place in Kirkwood, it was almost like going back to college. I mean, you've got these nice dorms, right? And she's like, "Oh, yeah, the neighbors are down the hall that used to live across the street from us. And have you seen Mrs. So-and-so?" It's kind of, and somebody cooks for you or not, depending on how you feel.
Well, a lot of these 55-plus communities... Not necessarily like the villages where they're all swingers, but not there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, I'm in. But, I mean, again, it's a lot like college.
Yep.
You don't have responsibilities.
Right.
You're just hanging out.
Yep.
Playing pickleball.
Yep.
Doing your thing.
It's crazy. Yeah, she would have liked that. Ooh, I feel bad about that now.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Uh-huh. Yeah, just one of those things.
I am looking at the website for the villages right now.
Yeah.
This place, I mean, I'll give up my whole life here and just go move into this.
Rachel's like, "Where's my golf cart?"
Oh my gosh, do they have tennis in the morning, Rachel?
I don't see tennis, but I see.
Would you take pickleball as a substitute? Because I bet they got pickleball.
Just make sure that pineapple's right side up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 222. Happy Friday. Getting kind of dark out there. Dave Murray will be with us about an hour. Sue Thomas hanging out with us until 3 p.m. What was I going to say? I forgot. Tonight, I am doing a gig at Alamo Draft House, where I've never been. Looking forward to that. Where they, a group of guys that reached out to me about a month ago are showing The Exorcist. And then I am doing a panel discussion, although I think I may be the panel. So,
panel of one.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. I'll get in an argument with myself. That's crap and you know it.
I'm so sick of you doing this to me.
Damn you, it. My friend, are a fraud.
Damn it, Dave.
Where is this place?
Midtown-ish.
Oh, yeah, the Foundry, Sue.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I like the Foundry. They got all kinds of stuff over there.
They do. The Alamo Draft House is really cool. I've only seen, like, one movie there, but it's really nice.
Should I park it's by a fresh food. Time? I'm bad at parking.
Yeah, that might be a wise thing to do, because sometimes the Foundry parking is, like, completely full.
Yeah.
Like, down there.
Especially since I'm getting there at, like, 8:30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll Uber.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Well, if you're the panel, there might be parking, you know?
Ooh, good
Fewer
point,
Fewer people. You could just go there. It's not you and, you know, seven people.
Think they have, like, a separate parking
for the panel.
Spot for the panels?
Yeah, they might.
I think you should just, like, drive up to the entrance and make some demands and see what happens.
I'm Dave Glover.
Do you have any idea
just
who
leave
I am?
It at that.
I am the entire panel.
That's right.
You see that Elon Musk is coming out with something new in his Tesla. It's called the Mad Max mode.
What's that?
Where it drives more aggressively.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
It's an automated thing. And so it's like the automated Teslas now, but it drives more aggressive. And they did testing on it, someone who's not him, and said it goes over the speed limit and it makes crazy turns. So
interesting.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
It just seems like you're setting yourself up, doesn't it?
The only way that automation works is if it's predictable.
Well, I guess you could have a different mode of predictable.
How about this? If you want to drive like Mad Max, you drive.
Exactly. Thank you. That's what I thought.
Don't drive like Mad Max, but if you do, just do it.
Yeah. Been to a couple nice dinners lately, and I've realized something. You can take the boy out of South Roxana, but you can't take the South Roxana out of the boy.
What'd you do?
Just, there's a big thing in the culinary world now. I was talking about this with Mayhe, like deconstructed.
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate.
And I just want him to construct it.
I understand. I really do.
Like, you know it'd be better than that? If he just made us more.
Yeah. What if instead of a pizza, we gave you a piece of bread,
yeah,
a string cheese,
yeah,
and some tomato juice?
Yeah.
That's a deconstructed pizza.
Yeah, I used to watch Chopped a lot, and they do that, and I'm like, this is so stupid.
It's like a cop-out. We're just not going to put it all together.
Okay.
Right.
You know what you guys are reminding me of? I saw a post earlier today about Ohio Valley style pizza. Have you guys heard of this?
No, what is that?
Okay, so Ohio Valley style pizza is a pizza made with cold toppings sprinkled over a square crust.
Nope.
It has been covered with a savory or sweet tomato sauce.
And
so you've got a baked crust, cold sauce, cold cheese, cold everything.
No.
So it's like a Lunchable.
Why would you do that?
That's just, it's is
awful.
Like a Lunchable. That's the
it
perfect
It also sounds super messy.
Yes.
Isn't the cheese going to fall all over the damn place?
I really want to go to New Haven, Connecticut and try the pizza there. The Holy Trinity, or just the Trinity, maybe. Sally's and Modern and Frank Pepe's. I've been watching all this stuff about it.
Is that sort of like Mystic Pizza area?
Kind of. Well, New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's by... they have a whole bunch of them there, and Adam Richman just went there and showed me all kinds of stuff on YouTube, and it was delicious.
Mm,
and I really want to go there, but I don't understand. Well, I guess it's a college town, but how they support that many pizza places. They've got old ovens from the 30s and coal.
Okay, no thinking about it. Favorite pizza of all time.
Oh, I thought about it.
Roma's Pizza in Bethalto. That's my favorite pizza of all time.
Ugh.
Kevin.
How do I pick one of my children?
Oh, I'm still thinking about it.
I have mine, and it's embarrassing.
Actually, I don't
hear it.
My actual favorite of all time is stuffed crust from Pizza Hut.
That's not. Yeah, that's
it's
okay.
So good. Pretty I never good. Get tired of it.
That's pretty good.
I like a deluxe Emos.
Oh, yeah. That's good, too.
And I just can't. That's what comes to mind. Or bacon, green pepper, onion, and mushroom.
Yes.
It's probably just because I went there all the time in high school, but Buddy's Pizza in Detroit was the best one.
Is Detroit that thick crust?
Yeah, it's
bready?
Like it's thick, but it's not as heavy as like say Chicago style, like where that's really dense.
Yeah,
it's not dense like that.
Yeah, it's puffy.
It's breadier.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's got the cheese that goes around the sides and
there's a place by me that's hold on, let me look it up. Mama something that has that. Mama.
Does Pizza Hut still make personal pan pizzas?
They do.
I don't know, but that was pretty cool when they did.
Yeah. They had a deal going on this summer. You could get $2 personal pan pizzas on Tuesdays.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to buy like 20 of them?
You know who'd love that deal? The tall man.
The
tall man stole.
That's Andrew's
Wait a
new
minute.
Name,
How
the tall
is
man.
He suddenly the tall man?
That's what AI says.
Oh my gosh. They didn't mention his butt? I find that shocking.
His butt? Like...
that took a turn. We all went,
what? Remember how he said in high school?
Yes.
He thought that people liked his butt.
Oh, yeah. His marching band days. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. I didn't just make that up.
He was a specimen back then.
We all had a look like, what?
We need to put an APB out for his butt because it's gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Game of Wax 234. Happy Friday. Sue Thomas hanging out with us. Bernie Miklas joins us. Hello, Bern.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Friday.
You too, buddy. Okay, we're going to get to the gambling thing. But I have a baseball question first. And in my mind, this question is very inartful, so I'm just going to start talking. Wheels had said that as much as he's looking forward to the World Series, he will be glad when it's over because the offseason is going to be so interesting. Now, when I ask this question, I'm not talking about specific moves like, oh, we're going to trade for this guy or what, we're going to trade this guy away. But what sort of offseason do you guys think that we would have that would upset Cardinals fans further?
That's a good question.
Well, not to be a smart aleck, which I am too often, of course. I'm pretty sure whatever the Cardinals do or don't do, Cardinals fans will be ticked off. I mean, seriously, they're just so mad at this team. Not everybody. I think if they trade away a very popular player, probably their best player, Brendan Donovan, if that happens, there'll be a lot of Cardinals fans ticked off, even though it makes sense. Just in a rebuilding, it does make sense. I don't really know how to answer the question because I just think it's such an angry fan base, and I understand why they're angry. So I don't know that I want to overanalyze it because, like, for example, I keep reading these blogs, you know, where people are getting the fans all worked up.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how, well, the Cardinals can sign Max Scherzer. Well, they can sign Zach Gallen. They can sign this guy. They can sign that. They're not going to sign any of those guys. So, but all that does is set up, you know, more unrest and more angst and anger among the fans. And again, the fans can be angry. I'm not knocking them for being angry. I don't have a good answer because it's just an angry time to be a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. And I think maybe the things that would, I can tell you what would make me the most angry, and that would be that they keep doing things the way they've always done them, which I do not anticipate. I don't think Chaim Bloom's going to do that. That would irritate me because, like, how are you getting out of the circumstance you're in if you keep doing the same things? But that to me seems super low likely, you know, super low likelihood of happening. And maybe, I mean, beyond what you, I think what you said is right, Bern, because I don't think this is going to be a big year of adding. It's more of a year of clearing again, you know, where if you're adding, it's going to be guys that are probably going to impact you next year or the year after, as opposed to right now. Although they will do, I think they will do some major league free agency, Bern. I mean, Chaim Bloom kind of hinted at that, but it won't be of the exciting, sexy variety.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to them. They're gonna be on the prowl for some real value out there. And one of the things Bloom did very, very well with part of that group at Tampa Bay, and even with Boston, he did a lot of good things in Boston. You know, you just don't hear about him because loudmouths keep talking about Mookie Betts, which he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
But anyway, they're going to look for value signings. That Tampa Bay operation was the smartest in baseball for a long time. They've always were able to find pitchers, especially where other teams look, what are they doing signing that guy? And then the guy turns out to be really good. But what will happen is even if they do, let's just say hypothetically, they do sign a couple of those type of pitchers, right? But because they're not big names and you have all these bloggers talking about, well, maybe they'll trade for Yamamoto, you know, or I'm being facetious. Cardinals fans will be like, that's all there is. And there's a chance that those couple of bargain signings will turn out really, really well.
Yeah.
But the reaction to them won't be very good.
And I also predict that there will be bad reactions to any trades that involve a guy, an established player like a Donovan, because people are going to get whipped into a frenzy thinking they're going to get more than they will.
That's true, too. Good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Kind of begs the question, why do you think baseball fans in general, or maybe St. Louis baseball fans in particular, I don't know, take this question where you want, are seemingly so ill-informed? Is it just that you guys are super knowledgeable about it, or do you think that the fandom in general in the MLB kind of lags behind?
My answer, you know, I'm someone who writes a lot of detailed columns, and I have a lot of analysis even when I speak on our shows here on KMOX. And to quote a Brian Wilson song title, I just wasn't made for these times. Because unless you can give your quote take in like 150 characters on X.
Yeah.
People can't absorb it.
I ain't reading all
and
that.
And when they do absorb it, it's usually a hot take, over the top, look at me, I'm outraged type take. And then everyone else starts to feel outraged so they can be part of the crowd. I mean, that's an oversimplification, but there's a lot to it.
I think it's similar to what we see in politics.
Yeah.
You know, people swim in certain waters, and when you're, and again, not necessarily good or bad. That's not even the point. The point is that if you're fans of, or you read a lot of people that provide that kind of like hotter take type thing, well, that's not always the reality. And unfortunately, the reality tends to be more boring.
There's no doubt about it.
Right.
You know, I try to break things down and analyze them. Sometimes I use too many numbers, but I've always based my opinions on facts. And I'm sorry, I will never stop doing that.
No,
I'm actually one of the 25% of Americans left who actually believe there are facts.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
I'm just kidding on that.
And part of it too is sometimes a lack of understanding of how things work. And I'll just give an example. There are a lot, and I read them all and value them all, but there are a lot of prospects rankings groups out there, right? Baseball America does it. FanGraphs does it. Baseball Prospectus, MLB.com, Keith Law. A lot of places do this. But none of those at all represent what an individual team thinks of players. You could say, here's MLB.com's top 30 Cardinals prospects. The Cardinals might not agree with that top 30. They might look at that and go, ah, that guy that's 20, he's probably more four for us. Like, it's not going to be what we think. So when they make trades and they trade for young players, that it's not always going to be like, well, MLB.com said this. Well, maybe the Cardinals guy thinks differently. Maybe they're right or wrong, but the point is every team has its own ratings, rankings, and evaluations of players. And what they like is not necessarily what another team likes. And we get a lot of like, well, if this team could have gotten that player for what they gave up, you could have done it. Yeah, but that other third team might not like your players like it likes the other team's players. We just don't know those things.
But, you know, bullseye, absolutely. No doubt about that.
So let's talk about the NBA gambling scandal. Byrne, how wide do you think these ripples could go? Wheels was just talking about some of the gambling sites may do away with prop bets.
I hope they do, because that seems to be, you know, a major source of the problem. I will say this. The stuff that's far underground, it's really hard to kind of dig it out, detect it, and enforce it. I mean, although it happens. I mean, the FBI and others investigate. I'm talking about illegal gambling activity.
Right, right.
But I tell you what, you know, when we're talking about controlled, legalized gambling, you know, people, I know what people are going to say. Oh, well, you know, you have a sponsor that's one of these sportsbook apps. So what else are you going to say? I'm going to say what the truth is. One of the good things about legalized gambling, and if you don't like it, in terms of this topic, you know, corruption, right? These casinos, these legalized sportsbook, the sportsbook app, they spend a fortune in enforcement. They have not only the latest technology, the most advanced technology, they have a lot of it. They can pick up on an algorithm like within 30 seconds that seems weird, and they can start to get into it. And they have a team of forensics that just go in there and find out, okay, this is fishy. Let's halt betting on this. The legalized part of this is actually well policed. I believe that firmly in my heart.
Yeah.
Except, yeah, the prop bet is really, really tough. And I think they would all do well to get rid of it, even though I know it's good for business.
It's a tough call, and they may be talking about even some tweaks too, where they're not getting rid of it, but maybe they're going to take away unders. And just if you want to go over the number that they set, you can do that. But because, you know, if you're going over a number, you're clearly trying. You're not, it's not compromising the integrity of the game versus,
I bet until December 1st when it's, where you're free to do what you want in the state of Missouri. But generally, like when I've been in Vegas or when I've been across the river or whatever, I love prop bets. It isn't that I'm opposed to prop bets. They're fun. And I actually think you can do well with them if you know what's going on. The problem is, you know, what do the people that run the legal sportsbook apps and the legal casinos and everything else, what are they going to do? You know, and they just have to think of something. It's because I think, you know, what I hope the legal gambling people understand is that when something like this happens, they get lumped in with it as sort of being some type of part of the corruption or fostering corruption, when actually they're the exact opposite of that. They spend a fortune policing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't benefit them if the industry collapses. And it doesn't benefit them. Because here's the other thing that I think this is another one of those areas where the average person who's just now maybe getting in tune with this, where you and I mean, I've been involved in sports betting and sports gambling and handicapping and all that for 30 years. No handicappers talk to them, you know, people in Vegas for for 20, 30 years. That industry is the industry that loses when these things happen. Mm-hmm. They are losing the bets. They don't want these things to happen because that's their money being taken from them. If it's being rigged, so it's, you know, all of the legalized companies, and this is why the Vegas casinos have always been so hard on this. They take the loss when something like this is rigged. When a player is intentionally going under, that means all those bets are going to win. That means the casino loses. So they've got a dual interest in making sure that these things are on the up and up, because they win when things are on the up and up because they always get the juice. they've always got the vig.
Yeah.
You know, after reading about Chauncey Billups getting arrested, the coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, and this was more about an underground poker game, but
yeah.
But you know what the bigger scandal is? I learned reading the story. You know what the bigger scandal is? That this dude was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. How the hell did that happen? I mean, what, did they run out of players to put in there or something?
Big game, Chauncey Billups.
I mean, I'm like what? Anyway, just a little levity there.
That's
fellas.
Funny.
Anyway,
I guess I'll never make enough money in my life to get obsessed with money, because even at my low level, like I said yesterday, I do pretty well. If someone offered me, hey, you can make another $100,000. All you have to do is do this. There's no way I'm going to give up the golden goose for that. So imagine you have $50 million. I just don't understand the psychology of, I can get another $500,000 or I could go to jail.
Right.
I just think it's the thrill.
I think you're right.
I just think it's the thrill of, you know, cashing those tickets. Listen, the first time I ever bet on a horse race in the state of Maryland, I was actually underage, but I was a big boy, so they all thought I was 18. I cashed a ticket on the first bet I ever made.
Nice.
And my blood was rushing to my head. It was like the biggest rush I've ever had. That's why people want to gamble.
Yeah.
What I did, I was fortunate enough to pay my way through college because I viewed horse racing wagering as a science.
Wow.
I studied horse racing to the point of absurdity because I wanted to figure things out. And if you do your homework, you have an advantage. You also have to be very disciplined in your wagers. So I paid my college tuition with my horse race winnings. And though I had some bad days, obviously, I always had a limit. I always made sure if I'm having a bad day, okay, it's just one of those days. You know, you lost $200, go home now. And I stuck to that. The problem is, unfortunately, too many people can't go home. They go, I'm down $150. I got to try to get this money.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
See, when you lose your discipline, that's when you really get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's such a good story. I'm going to steal it. The next time I'm interviewed,
go for it.
I put myself through law school playing the horses. That's a great story. Welcome back, DGS. Happy Friday. A few minutes shy of 3 p.m. Sue Thomas here with us for one more segment. Rach, what do you got?
Just a cute tweet that I saw that I thought you guys would enjoy, especially Dave and Wheels having daughters. A fifth grade teacher took a picture of this note she found in her classroom, and then her friend posted it on Twitter. So it's a fifth grade girl named Joey writing a note to her classmate Noah. And Zoe is done with Noah, okay? She's done dealing with his BS. She's had enough, and she's given him a list of rules that he needs to abide by if they're going to continue to be in the same class.
I've been in Noah's position a few times.
So rule number one is don't touch my shoulder.
Duh.
I think that's reasonable. Number two, do not get behind me with all that playing and foolishness. She reiterates her point, do not get behind me at all. She doesn't, again, she's done with Noah. Number three, do not speak to me unless it's a greeting, which it never will be. Basically saying, don't say hi to me unless I say hi to you, and I will never be saying hi.
I think I have this letter at home.
Gosh.
Number four, stop playing with me on the bus. Number five, I have a short temper with people, and you ruin my day because you play too much.
Wow.
Number six, you like me as a girlfriend, but I don't like you. I'm too young to like you as a boyfriend. Number seven, reread 500 times.
Solidly Team Noah here.
Yeah, it depends.
Come on.
You don't know what Noah's all about.
She concludes the note by saying, if you break any of these rules, I'm calling my dad, my mom's friend, my mom, and a janitor I know. And if you ruin my day, I'm going to have to go to counseling.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of drama.
Now, listen, Dave, I know you're thinking your team know it, but that's a lot for nothing. You know what I mean? He must be driving her nuts.
Exactly. I don't think
she's going to make someone miserable one of these days.
Her and her boundaries.
I like that it's her mom, her mom's friend, and a janitor
that she knows.
I just thought that was pretty great. I love that she feels confident enough to be like, you know what? I'm just going to take matters into my own hand.
That's right.
Set some ground rules here.
You know how many of those ground rules Noah's going to follow?
Oh, no.
Zero.
I would if I were Noah.
He'd be like, whatever.
I'm not getting behind her.
Thank you.
Were you guys big note passers in like elementary school, school?
I was way too afraid of getting in trouble.
Yeah, we did, but usually it was jokes.
I was just so terrified of the rules, like you said, Dave. But yeah. I had certain teachers that were like, yeah, you can pass notes, but if I find it, I'm reading it.
Oh, yeah, we've had those
class.
Before.
No, like when we replayed my mom's interview, and she said I was a very good boy, I really was.
Yeah. Aww.
Like when I said fart during the recess and Wendy Dresch told on me.
Thanks, Wendy.
I was bawling. I was like, I can't do this. This is it. I'm getting kicked out of school.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I don't remember any like quote unquote real notes, you know, like being passed around. Like, it was more like just you hand one to your buddy and it's like you're a butt. And then
well, that's useful.
Yeah.
In sixth grade I saw on the same recess kids smoking behind the school and sixth grade couples making out behind the incinerator, and I was beside myself.
The incinerator?
Yeah, that's an incinerator. Wow. It's the best place to make out.
Well, that sounds like it.
Romantic.
Thank you. Wow.
If it's the winter, it's probably warm, though.
Good grief.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.